Hello, and welcome to Parenting Help with Vigeo Behavior Consulting. Join us for conversations with experts in the fields of cognitive behavior, mental health, behavior analysis, education, and child psychology. On this podcast, we examine the challenges that parents are facing and share insights and strategies that have helped other parents with similar issues. I'm your host, Katie Palmer. I'm a parenting coach and board-certified behavior analyst. I'm also the owner of Vigeo Behavior Consulting. I am fortunate to be able to engage in conversations with some incredible professionals whose depth and breadth of experience can offer guidance for parents who are looking for new ideas. I hope you find this podcast useful, engaging, and insightful. So John and I are here talking about power struggles, and because after we have conversations, it is so often that we think, oh, we should have recorded that. Oh, that would have made a great podcast. So now we've just hit record, and so I'll give everybody an update on the. So a parent came to me and said, "What do I do in this situation?" And she says, "My kid came to me last night." And it was late. It was like 10 or 11 at night. My kid came to me and was like, my teacher's so awful. She just told us about the makeup exam and it's tomorrow. And she didn't give us any warning. And that's, it's just awful. And he was going on and on about how terrible it was that the teacher did this to them. And of course the mom goes right into, and she acknowledged like, I didn't handle this well. We got into a big fight, but she just assumed that he was lying. Like that the teacher would not have waited to the last minute. And my response began with, yeah, he might have been lying. That's actually not where to start with this. But if we can back it up and say, like, so your kid comes to you, and I'll be the kid, John, you'd be the dad.
Oh, we're just jumping into a role play here.
Can we do that? Or do you want to be the kid?
No, we can, you know, you've got a feel for this kid. I know you do. So,
I'll give you the scenario. Okay. So I'm the kid. Dad, it's so awful. This teacher, she didn't give us any warning. And now suddenly the makeup exam is tomorrow. And she didn't tell us anything about it. And she just scheduled it. And now we're supposed to be ready for it.
So you're what? Mad about this?
Well, yeah, of course. Like, I mean, what? Why does she think she can just do that and not like tell us ahead of time and give us a couple days to study? Like, it's Monday. She could have told us on Friday.
And you're stressed about this.
Yeah.
Do you not feel prepared for the exam?
No.
So you're stressed and you're mad at your teacher.
Yeah.
And you feel totally unprepared.
And I'm going to fail the class.
And you're taking it to this extreme because you might not do well on this one exam.
Well, it is extreme.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love what you did because it's so easy as a parent to be like, you are lying to me. You're lying to get out of this. You're blaming somebody else, but it's your fault. You're not taking accountability. Like it's our minds go to those places of, what our kid is doing wrong in this moment.
Yeah, you know, it's like what in that moment, where are you supposed to be parenting?
Yes, yeah.
Right? What are you supposed to be parenting on?
What's the target?
What's the target?
Yes.
In there, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you know, that first step, I think, well, should we, you know, break that down a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to just, if we imagine, as parents, if we imagine ourselves in that role, our child shows up at this elevated state.
Yeah.
It's so easy for us to become elevated and then react. Either he's lying, or he didn't prepare, or he didn't study and he's blaming somebody else. He's not taking responsibility. All these things can sort of even ramp us up further as parents. How do we slow down? How do we just slow down?
There's a misconception.
Yes.
That your job as a parent is to worry for your child.
Yes.
Like, oh, like you've got an exam. Yes, let's panic about this together. Like that is my job right now as a parent is to just get, I got to help you. And I gotta be supportive. And if you are having a hard time, I need to be having a hard time.
Yes. Oh, and we don't, parents. So you don't need to be having that hard time with your kids.
No.
What's the difference between my stuff and their stuff?
Right. Right. Well, this is mindful parenting. You know,
yeah.
There's reactive parenting and there's mindful parenting.
Right. So the reactive parenting might be sort of what I was just saying of like, what do you mean? No, the teacher never would have done that. And you're just blaming the teacher. And you're not taking responsibility for your actions. Like there's my reactive parenting coming from that place of, I think coming from that place of, I see a problem, whether it's lying or displacing blame. And I want to fix and correct. I want to teach and correct in that moment.
Yeah. And there are really great moments to work with your kid on being honest and prepared and stuff. But this is not
it. One of them. This is not it.
And right. So you're not going to get anywhere in those teaching moments when your kid is escalated.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
They're not, they physiologically cannot learn the wonderful lesson you have about honesty.
Right. Or responsibility.
Or responsibility. They can't hear it.
Yeah. You know, go ahead.
Well, we're talking about power struggles. And to me, that's like the point where a power struggle begins.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you are trying to explain, share, teach to someone who is not available to hear it.
Right. So their reaction is going to be heel digging, flag planting, potentially oppositional stance taking. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first, there's a lot in this, but one of my first kind of rules of working with families or with parents is start by stopping.
Yeah. I have a wonderful little cue for this.
Okay.
One of my clients came up with, and because we were talking about this pause, how do you take the pause? And I believe he said it's like when you smell a skunk. You smell a skunk, you're going to stop. You're going to pause because you don't want to keep walking toward the skunk. You're going to pause and look around and you might see where the skunk is. Maybe it's over that way. You're going to pivot. So the
Oh, wow.
Skunk, pause, pivot. Isn't that great?
I love that.
I take no credit at all. I just stole it. So that skunk pause pivot, something like, here comes my kid, super escalated about something. There's your skunk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see this as an indicator. I've got to slow myself down. And whether that's to co-regulate or whether that's just to give myself space to choose a target. And then pause and pivot.
And, it's just like with the skunk, it's like, I don't know where the skunk is. I don't know what the danger level is.
Yeah.
And it's like that with a kid when they're in this escalated place. Like, come at it first with like, you need more information.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, not that you have the answer. but you need more information. Like, assume you don't know everything.
Yeah. That's where the, you know, one of the other phrases I love so much, I'd rather be happy than right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think immediately, you think your kid's lying. Can you set that aside? Because wouldn't it be great if you're wrong? And does it actually matter in that moment? Like you said, they're not going to learn that lesson about honesty in that moment because they're escalated anyway. Mm-hmm. And what if we were just to step in there with them in a calm way and say, oh, yeah, that really sucks. It sounds like you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And then we get to, do you feel ready or do you not feel ready?
Right. Gather that because if they're like, no, I'm going to ace this exam, I'm just mad at my teacher.
Great.
Right. Oh, wow.
Now we know.
We got a whole different like set of things to look at versus I haven't had any time to plan. I haven't studied.
Yeah. Or now you learn a little bit more about how badly they failed the first time. Because remember that in this story, this is a makeup test. This is a makeup exam for the whole class. So it sounds a little bit like everyone failed.
Right.
So something like there's more there.
Yeah.
There's much more under there that we don't understand yet. Skunk pause, pivot, get curious.
And again, what's your target? What's the role here? Right? What's the role? There's a, parents tend to think that their role is to fix problems for their kids.
Yeah.
Teach their kids lessons.
Yeah.
Or deliver discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get, you know, kind of get more complex than that, but those are tendencies that I see when I work with parents, right? Like my kid is lying. How do I need to discipline them on this?
Yeah.
You know, or they don't know how to do this. How do I make sure that they learn what they need to know? Or, you know, my kid is struggling and I need to jump in and do something about it.
Yeah.
And
my kid shows up escalated to here and I just match it.
So yeah.
Now we both got like, we both got to calm down.
Right.
Because if I match it, I'm not ready to listen either.
Yeah. You've lost your capacity to actually work with your kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. That one just sort of landed hard. Yep. When we show up and match that energy, we give away our capacity to help.
Yeah.
I never even thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about this idea? You started with this and I want to come back to it. This idea of kind of perspective taking, like you sounds like you're super stressed. Like, I get it. Like the sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts about, for teenagers especially, this idea of validation that's out there all over the place? Important to validate, right? And I don't mean to diminish the value of that. However, at the teenage years, if we start saying, oh, I see you're angry, we start to come off a little condescending. Mm-hmm. And we're not stepping into perspective taking. We're really just labeling for them. I have found teenagers tend to get pretty pissed when you do that.
Yeah.
And again, we're gonna steer into, you know, of course I'm angry, you bleepity bleep name.
Well, I want, you know, I want to get in the soup a little bit if I want to be supportive. Right? My other option is to hear this about this makeup exam and go, oh, good luck with that, right? Like,
right.
But if I want to be helpful and supportive, I do want to get into the soup. So I at least want to understand what the kid is going through.
Yeah.
And so I try to ask questions about what they're feeling or thinking, not in like a pedantic way. You know, not that I'm not from a I'm up here and you're down there and I'm telling you kind of thing.
It's not that's not the lesson. The lesson isn't how are you feeling?
No.
It's not. So it's a different purpose. So we're asking these questions from a different purpose. I want to get in there with you and understand.
If they are, because I might be, again, I come at it with a recognition that I might be wrong about what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. I might be totally right, but I might be totally wrong.
Yeah.
And so they might look really angry, but if I ask some questions about it, they're terrified. Okay, so I'm seeing anger, but I ask a few questions and it turns out they're really, really worried about this test. Now I can attend to where they actually are.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why I like to gather a little more information about what they're thinking and feeling, is not to tell them,
right,
but
and it's not to get them to like label how they feel. That's not the point.
No.
That's for little kids. When kids are little and learning how to identify their feelings, we're okay there. But when they're older, that it shows some things that show up as anger, there's something else going on that's more important
mm-hmm.
to step into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what am I doing there, right? I want to support this kid with their concerns and their stress about this exam.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
There might be all these other great things floating around in my mind about what would be helpful, what they need to learn. But that's just like, that's not where we are. That's not what's going on in the room.
Oh, what's going on in the room? I love that. It's like, be here now. What is going on in the room right now?
Yeah.
Lessons are for later.
Yeah. I like that. Lessons are for later.
Yeah. Coming up, we're good ones. We've got skunk paws pivot. I'd rather be happy than right. Lessons are for later.
This is good. But in terms of the validation piece,
yeah,
you can validate their experience. You can validate that they're angry, that they're pissed off, that they might even be lying, but really be believing their lie because it's helping them out.
Yes, it's helping them feel better just in that moment.
Yeah. So in their world, in their mind, in their world, the teacher just threw this at them last minute.
Yeah.
And
we don't have to accept that story.
No.
In order to be right there with them. And that might be something important for parents to shift a little bit on. It's like, I can be here with you when you're frustrated and mad and have this thought that you might be lying about it, and I can still be here with you. I don't have to believe the story just yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to any adult, any parent out there, have you ever lied? have you ever lied to get the kind of support or help that you need or that you think that you need?
Even just twist the story a little bit?
Have you ever lied to yourself a little bit to make yourself feel better?
Yeah.
Like, this is not, it's maybe not the most pro-social and most helpful thing to lie, but it's not inhuman. It's not this otherworldly thing where you're like, what are you doing lying? It's like, no, this is a very normal, natural thing.
It's a mechanism. Like, it's a normal thing for people to try out to see if it's going to work out for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does it help? These are my more like therapist-y curiosities, but how does it help to be lying?
Yeah.
I don't think you need to go there as a parent at all.
No.
But yeah, so
it's good for parents to have that sort of like let's say in this moment, they're listening to this podcast and they're not in an argument with their child, but they could stop and think, well, how would it serve my child to fib a little bit? It's not a declaration of their character if they're telling some lies. And that lesson is for later. And how do you approach it? Is this a consistent thing? How do you get curious about how that lie is serving them? Is it working for them? And then bigger picture, okay, how do we make it no longer work?
Mm-hmm.
If it becomes a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot. I just sort of played out an awful lot right there.
Well, what you're saying is that there are times to pull back as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And to think kind of long-term with my child. What patterns do I see? Are they a chronic liar?
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on for them? Why do they feel the need to lie? What do we do about that? That's way different from in the moment of them coming to you stressed about this makeup exam. That's not a time to like pull out. That's a time to just kind of lean in and get right with what's going on right there.
Yeah.
You know,
it's happening in the room.
And plus the lying piece, that pull back piece, that's for you as a parent. Like that's your work. Whereas this upcoming exam is for your kid to figure out.
Right. And there's always the option. I mean, one of the things that I was writing about when I was contemplating this situation is there's always the option to say, do you feel that you want to try to prepare for this right now, or are you going to wing it? Because those are options that anybody has in that type of moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's stress. They're stressed out, right? They're dysregulated, upset, stressed out about this. And so what are they, your job is to maybe help them figure out what they are going to do about it.
Yeah.
And at this point, the options are wing it or cram for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the child gets to make the choice. And then the question is, how do I help you? Do you need a snack?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always one for showing up with food. Don't ask. And actually don't even ask, especially, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of gender bias here, but if this is a young teenage boy,
mm-hmm.
put food in front of them, even mm-hmm. preteen, just put food in front of them. If they don't eat it, fine. If they eat it, you haven't asked whether they're hungry. It's not about hunger. They won't know. Quite often they don't know they're hungry, but they need that fuel. Especially if they're going to be up for a couple hours studying.
Well, and eating can just be kind of grounding and calming anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Yep. So the tough thing about this is that they're stressed, and that's not going to make relaxing go well or studying go well. And they're probably not going to do well on the exam.
Yes. Yes.
And that's okay. That's okay. But
here's the other thing. We also, as parents, don't study for them.
No.
And that, I see that a lot. Parents are over helping with homework a lot. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with, well, when do you know how much is too much? Can they find their own materials? Can they find on whatever system the school has set up, like the information on what's on the exam? Do they have friends who have maybe slightly better organizational skills? Can they call that friend? There are ways to guide a student to getting the assistance without doing for them.
This is bringing up for me this issue that I see.
Mm-hmm.
Where, especially for high school students, there's this tremendous focus from parents and from schools and from other students on schoolwork, on school being the important thing. Like the important, like why you're in high school is to pass this exam or get a good grade. And other people might tell you differently. I will say that's 100% not why your kid is in high school. 100%.
A whole another episode on this. But
You know, there's an amazing learning opportunity in the scenario you presented to take ownership of your ownership of your struggles, which is very hard to do, but it's a really nice thing to learn how to do, is to say, I'm stressed out about this. What am I going to do?
Yes.
There's a great lesson in learning to ask for help. This kid has not asked for help. Between the lines is asking for help, but they need to learn to say, I didn't take notes. I need to go ask my friend who did take notes if I can borrow their notes. I need an extension. I need to ask my teacher for an extension. I need a snack. I need to ask my parent for a snack. It's really okay to ask for help.
And maybe that's the lesson. Which, you know, you don't know at first when he shows up with this big, loud story. But so, like, there's so many places where, as parents, we really miss the boat on what's important in this moment or what's important overall. And there's a lot of parents out there who are worried that their kids are not going to get into a good college. It's a real thing for a lot of parents, and it becomes a real thing for a lot of kids. And, you know, as society sort of maintains that story that a good school is the difference between success in life or not, if that story is maintained, we will continue to see this kind of pressure at the high school level.
Yeah. And so part of being a parent is advocacy.
Yeah.
So don't give in to these social pressures that don't serve you or your kid or your family. Push. This is like me on my rebellious soapbox. Push back.
Yeah.
Go to the school and say, this is not, like, this exam is not going to be the most important thing for my kid or for me. Yeah. Like, it's not.
But not as a reaction to the child coming and
freaking out.
Different time.
Different time.
Different scenarios, right? So we're not going to step in and rescue. But we might have that conversation on a broader scale with our partners, with our spouses, our kids, and say, what's really important to us as parents is that you learn to be a really good person. Let's talk about what that looks like, what that means, and what part does school play in that? And, you know, a lot of us really want our kids to have a life that is comfortable and secure, and maybe that's tied to financial stability. And that doesn't mean they have to get into the top 10 schools in the country.
No. Absolutely not.
Right. That is still out there. There are families still struggling with that narrative, and I want to be sort of sympathetic with the pressure and the stress of that. I'm not even sure how to open the door to just invite reconsideration of that story.
Well, I think you can play it out a little bit. Just look at that. First of all, in this scenario,
yes,
if
we have strayed a little bit from our strength scenario,
I don't know how old this kid is.
I think freshman or sophomore in high school.
Okay. You know, but if they're coming because they're ill prepared for this exam, they're not going to get into one of those top 10 schools. You know, like,
is out of the barn, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know. So, you know, there you go. Like, you know, I knew by the time I hit high school, like what I wasn't gonna be doing. And that's not like, that's totally okay, right? But you're allowed your kid, it's okay for your kid to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm really good at some things. I'm terrible at some things. You know, I have a good practice. I love my work. I'm not like New York Times bestselling author, you know? I'm okay. And that's totally fine.
Yes. But it comes back to like what are your values in who you are and who you're becoming, and that component of, can we take a look at, and by the way, teenagers, they're really just starting to differentiate their own values from those of their parents and from those of their friends. It's a journey for them to even understand what's important to them as an individual, apart from parents and friends. And helping them discover that is so important. It's such a big part of what parenting, I'm going to say it, ought to be about, is helping our children sort of test out these values that might be scary for us.
Well, you
or
get
maybe
to,
not.
Well, you, yeah, right. Because we might not agree with them.
Yeah.
And two, we might not like how they're going about it.
Yep.
And three, that it's a long journey.
Yeah.
I think
we're not talking about safety here. We're not talking about like direct safety issues.
No. Yeah. With this kid, you know, these questions are like, what's important to you in this? Is getting a good grade really important? You might want to study some more. What's really important? Do you think you need to just like take a break, and you know, do you need me to drive you to the gym for an hour?
Right.
You know what? That's such a good space in the example you gave to help your kid check in with what is important to me in this.
Yeah.
And there might be multiple things that are important, and you got to kind of triage. Well, I want to get a good grade. Got it. You know, what do you realistically, are you going to ace this or not?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Then what comes next? How do you want to take care of yourself?
Yep. And if they say something like, I want the teacher to whatever, reeling that back in, like, we can only control.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in charge of this teacher and their behavior. And we are always going to run into people whose behavior does not live up to what we're hoping. What are we going to do with our feelings about it? What are we going to do with the struggle?
Except I'll augment that a little bit.
Yeah, please do.
What are you going to do?
Yes, yes.
Right? I hear you're talking in this global sense. But
yeah, it's sort of a global, yep.
As a parent is trying to help, it's not, well, yeah, what we're not going to study, you're going to study.
Yes. Yeah, definitely in that situation. What would you like to do? We can't change, Mr.
Yeah, yeah, we can't change.
What do you want to do next?
What's next?
Yeah.
But think of the powerful parenting move there in helping your child take that ownership.
Yeah.
It'd be really great if other people change to make your life better. It doesn't happen. You are here. You need to deal with this. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
That's such a great skill to learn how. That's like the best skill I think that you can learn, is to take agency, have agency in your life.
And guiding, what you just described is a parent guiding learning rather than delivering it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an important distinction there, you know, for anyone who thinks about constructivism as a learning theory. And when we guide, we're not telling, but we are letting some exploration and discovery and autonomy in the learning process.
Some of my favorite parents out there, and a way that I have learned from them how to approach kids sometimes is to say, like, I have some ideas. If you want them, let me know. Yes. I can give you some ideas, right? I know a little bit about this topic. I would be willing to share it with you if that would be helpful. Because in all of that, you're creating an invitation to be supportive. But again, it lands on the kid to have that agency and ask for that. I'm not going to hand you all of that.
Yeah. It's exhausting. Because parenting is exhausting. There's so much. We've just suggested that parents think about so many things and do so many things differently.
Yes, and worrying and is exhausting.
Yes.
Worrying is exhausting. And so a lot of parents that I meet, that I work with, come to me exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they want, and when we start to shift their approach to this more, this guiding, values-based, supportive way of parenting, it does sound like more work, but you're already using that energy anyway.
Yeah.
And if you could be exhausted at the end of the night, feeling that your kid has felt empowered and that they've taken responsibility and that they have a clear way that they are moving forward through this issue, and that you have provided them like the space and platform to do that.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the exhausted you want when you go to bed rather than the.
Yeah. And here's the little secret. It's much less exhausting.
Yeah.
Once you know how to do it, like once it stops being something you have to cue yourself to shift, it becomes easier because you're not ramping yourself up every time your kid shows up escalating. You're not putting the responsibility on yourself to fix when it's not your place to do so. And so there's so much less energy that it takes to be this type of parent. And it's a beautiful growth. It's a wonderful thing.
Now here's the issue. Here's the risk of this.
Yep.
If we were boxing this up and selling this, this would be the little warning label. Right. Other people are going to see you more relaxed and feel in more control. And they might have a hard time with it, right? Because they're going to see you and go, why aren't you anxiously worried about your child the way that we all are? Like, what are you doing wrong?
I love that you're bringing this up right now. This is fantastic. Yes. And then we start to compare. I'm like, oh, maybe I am doing something wrong because everyone else is all stressed out.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, you know, and that's the other risk, right? The other risk is that your life becomes about something greater than your child. Now you've got free time, you've got free energy, your kid is more responsible, and you get to start, I don't know, whatever, exercising for yourself, hanging out with friends,
reading a book,
enjoying your life. And I'm putting that on the warning label because nobody, like, no, you know, like, it's very hard for people to see that as healthy, good parenting.
They're used to the other thing.
They're used to the other thing.
Used to the other thing.
And there are absolutely times where being on full on stressed out mode, worrying for your child, doesn't make sense.
Oh yeah,
it's still going to happen.
Still going to happen.
But it's a, such a small percentage of what is possible. But this is the risk of shifting is that you have to deal with the change. You have to be okay with it, having more time and energy for yourself, and you have to be okay with people looking at you funny because you're not doing it in this prescribed way that isn't sustainable or beneficial for anybody.
Yeah. If you find yourself no longer saying, oh my gosh, everything is so much right now, you're getting there. And also you start to, there's like, oh, but isn't that the way I'm supposed to be? Like, I'm supposed to be all overbooked and stressed out. No, you don't have to.
And also, like, stop asking about that from externally. What am I supposed to be feeling? What do you want to be feeling? How do you want your relationship with your child to be?
Yeah.
How do you want your day to be? It doesn't matter what the outside world is telling you about this. What do you want?
Yeah. Yeah. What works for you? What works for your child? What works for your family?
Yeah.
No one else can tell you that.
Nobody else can tell you that because they've tried.
And here we are.
Listen, and here we are.
Yeah.
And your kid is living by it too. Yeah. And that's why they're coming to you.
That's how things, it's like that state of ramped up is so often how people are moving through the world, that we forget to slow down, and that slowing down helps us notice where we are, what's going on in the room right now.
It leads to a lot of these chronic psychological issues and chronic physical issues that we see, especially in younger people, is that they are chronically stressed about things that they don't need to be so stressed about. Maybe like minimally, if that. But when I meet, right, like I might have a new teenager come work with me and their parents are really concerned and they're not sleeping well, they're not eating well, they're having a hard time. Like on paper, this poor kid, it looks like nothing is going well in their lives. But so much of that comes from living in this state of chronic
wrong
stress.
Wrong spotting.
Which happens in a state of stress. That's what psychologically, it's what you're designed to do, is to start looking for what's going wrong under stress. So if what you do is you help your kid learn how to relax and not take life so seriously, but also take responsibility for your actions and to feel more confident in that, then they can start right spotting and they can start hearing advice and they can start working on higher level issues. Under stress, everything looks like life or death.
Yeah.
But when you can set that down and you can relax, then you can learn larger lessons about how to be honest and how to be helpful and how to be, you know, all of these other things that you want your kid to have as a parent. They can't have it when everything is life or death.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We can't. Yep.
But I will say this, that helping your kid learn to relax is not letting them off the hook and letting them just like play video games.
Yeah, totally different, right? It is that I keep going back to that slowing down.
Slow,
They show
yes.
up with this story and they're way up here, bring them back down. What is happening here in this room? What's important to you right now? How do you get there?
We're in no way avoiding this conflict or this challenge or this issue. We're
Right.
just learning how to slow down, notice what's going on, and be mindful and intentional about how you move forward.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Please consider checking out the website www.vigiobx.com to find more helpful resources from our guests and from other professionals using acceptance and commitment training to support parents and children. You can leave comments or requests on the podcast page, find more information about our guests, and subscribe to our newsletter as well. We have a recommended book list, a blog, and options for a free 30-minute consultation if you're interested in working with us. Go gently and have a great day.